This is You Can If You Will with success coach, trainer, and speaker, Kip Kent. The show where everything we do is aimed at helping you become personally effective and professionally successful.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Kip Kent and I have to say that I am really excited about today's guest. Dr. Tony Alessandra is one of America's most sought-after communications experts, helping companies worldwide to build customers, relationships, and the bottom line. His business clients, which include United Airlines, IBM, and other Fortune 500 giants, learn how to achieve market dominance through specific strategies designed to outmarket, outsell, and outservice the competition. Dr. Alessandra holds a degree in marketing from the University of Notre Dame, earned his MBA from the University of Connecticut, and his PhD in marketing from Georgia State University. He was inducted into the Speakers Hall of Fame in 1985 and is a member of the Speakers Roundtable, a group of 20 of the world's top professional speakers. Dr. Alessandra is a widely published author with 14 books translated into 11 foreign languages, and is featured in over 50 audio-video programs and films, including Relationship Strategies and his newest program, The 10 Qualities of Charismatic People. He's the author of The Platinum Rule, and he's my special guest on the show today. Tony, welcome.
Thank you, Kip. Pleasure to be on the show.
So, Tony, let's dive right into it. One of my commitments to my listeners is to interview successful people, those with insight that can provide tools that they can use to be more effective. You've built a highly successful speaking business and two successful online companies. Where did it all start, and why did you choose your profession?
Well, I think it started way back in grammar school, believe it or not. I went to a Catholic grammar school in New York and New Jersey. And almost every month, we had to go out to raise money for the school by selling things, either raffles, you know, for a Cadillac, or those big chocolate bars, cookies against the Girl Scouts, et cetera.
Yeah.
And almost every month, I would win the contests. Now, of course, being from a big Italian family doesn't hurt, but I won them, and people would say to me, you're going to be a great salesperson, you have the gift of gab. You know, you're very persuasive, you're outgoing, you're charismatic. This is as a little kid. So, you know, eventually it led to me working my way through college as a salesperson, literally selling door-to-door, cookware, china, crystal, and cutlery. Did very well doing that. Eventually I went through and got a PhD, as you mentioned, in marketing. But while I was getting my PhD, my major prof was Dr. David Schwartz, and he happened to be the author of a multi-million bestseller called The Magic of Thinking Big. And he was a motivational speaker in addition to being a professor at Georgia State University. And I think that sort of went to the back of my mind about being a speaker. And after getting my doctorate and teaching at the university level, I broke off in December of 78, and in January of 79, became a full-time professional speaker. And that's still what I do today. But in 2000, I decided to expand my business, diversify it, because I saw some warning signs. I didn't know what it was. I just had a gut feel something was not trending up in the world of professional speaking. So I started developing an online assessment business, which is at assessments.ws, which stands for website, but assessments.ws. And as that built up, I started cutting back and speaking. And as fate would have it, after the fateful events of 9/11, the speaking pie, if we look at all the possible speeches available, the speaking pie itself, even after the economy came back and travel came back after 9/11, the pie itself shrunk a bit. And then after the last recession, which I'm not quite sure we're really out of, it's sluggish right now,
right.
But the pie shrunk a lot more. So I at least sort of called that to some degree, but the building that online assessment business and an online CRM customer retention management tool really, really helped. So I really think getting back to, you know, what may have led to me being where I'm at today, I read a lot. So I'm on my computer every day. I'm looking at a lot of the news releases there. I read two newspapers every day, my local San Diego newspaper and the Wall Street Journal. I get business magazines, and I'm on the phone a lot talking to people. And I'm always trying to find out what's going on, what's new, what are you doing differently. I'm very inquisitive that way, and when I hear something I like, I jump at it. It's sort of like a batter being up swinging at a pitch. You know, I'm up there swinging. What people see, and believe it or not, what you see, are only my successes. You don't see all the times that I strike out. But the point is, I try a lot. And even though I fail a lot, I succeed. You know, as you know, one of the analogies that's always given is to be in the Hall of Fame in baseball, you only have to get one out of three hits, get a hit one out of three times that you're up at bat. That's my whole philosophy. I'm up there swinging. I try things. Yeah, I mean, I weigh them in advance. I don't haphazardly. I listen to all these different ideas. In my mind, I decide which ones are more valid than others. And then I try those things. So that's pretty much it. You know, I do that. And I think another big philosophy I follow is what goes around comes around. I'm always out there willing to help people, not expecting anything in return. And believe it or not, things come to me. You know, some people just say that I have an eerie sense of luck. But I just wonder if it's, you know, this what goes around comes around, laying the groundwork, being out there, being willing to help people, and things come back, not necessarily from those people. So,
you know, I love that answer, and I want my listeners to hear that. A couple things that I really got out of that. First of all, I remember this saying from Zig Ziglar. If you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get what you want. And
Absolutely.
That's another form of what goes around comes around. I also have to say, you're shattering all my illusions of you because I've never pictured you in my mind striking out at anything, but the truth of it resonates. Nobody bats a thousand. And so, like you said, we get to see all of your successes. And by the way, for my listeners, I have heard Tony speak in person, and you've got to hear him sometime. So if he's anywhere near your area, it's even worth jumping on an airplane to go hear Tony speak. Just absolutely awesome. Now,
well,
you mentioned assessment.ws, and I know that this is one of your businesses, and I know that you offer numerous online assessments. How exactly do they help people? How would they help my listeners who are entrepreneurs and business owners and so forth?
Well, I have an array of assessments. So I have a lot of what you might call behavioral or personality assessments, like DISC, social styles, aversion of MBTI. What those do is they give you an introspective look at yourself, how you come across to other people. And some of my assessments, like the social styles assessment and the platinum rule assessment, are what we call a 360 or multi-rater assessment. And that's where you take the assessment and then send out a link to other people to answer those very same questions in terms of how they see you behaving. So not only do you get the perspective of how you believe you're coming across to people, but you get other people's perspectives on how they actually see you coming across to them. It's like being given this gift of seeing through the eyes of others how you come across to them. So there's those behavioral assessments. I have a sales effectiveness assessment, which is beautiful for salespeople because you answer all these questions about how you think you're doing in sales, and then you send it out to your customers, your sales manager, even your fellow salespeople to get a perspective of how they think you're actually performing those sales behaviors. Obviously, crucial to get that customer feedback because how I see how I'm coming across or how I'm succeeding, achieving, behaving may not be how my customers see me. And the same thing with leadership or communication effectiveness. These 360 assessments not only give you a chance to answer how you think you are behaving, but it also gives other people the chance to tell you anonymously how they think you're behaving. And it gives, let's say, Kip, you're taking one of the assessments, and you look at it, and it tells you how you come across in all these different areas, how you think you're coming across, and how people see you. And it gives you your strengths, your struggles, your blind spots, and it literally gives you a specific track of behaviors to improve, to get better. So that's what the assessments do. It's sort of like a snapshot of who I am, how I behave, how I'm coming across to others in their eyes. So that's what assessments do. And companies use them for personal development, for training and development, and also for selection, in the selection process. Because if I have a company, let's say a company where I have a lot of salespeople, and I know some of my salespeople who are really, really top performers and others who are laggards, who are not, and I can profile them, I can create a benchmark, an assessment benchmark that any potential future hires, you know, when I interview people, as one of the tools that I use, one of many tools, I can have them take an online assessment and benchmark it against the most successful people to tell me whether this person fits that mold. So that's what assessments do.
Well, and I love this idea of the 360 assessment. Listen, I know from personal experience I can be a little bit myopic. I see it the way I see it. But to have that feedback from others and to let them do it anonymously, while I'm maybe a little nervous that it could be a little critical, right? Wouldn't I want to know that? Wouldn't I want to be able to change something that I wasn't recognizing before? So to my listeners, this is valuable feedback that you could potentially have doing a behavioral style 360 assessment or a sales assessment or any of these others. And we may come back and talk about that a little bit more. Now, on another note, it has been my experience that people have to get a little excited to really achieve their goals and their dreams. And you've been one of the most successful speakers in America. And I am not embellishing when I say that. You've been one of the most successful for years. How did you learn to get people to listen and to create excitement in them?
Well, I think one of the turning points of my career was early on in the very, very early 80s. So right after I just got out of being a college prof and had gone into speaking. And one of the greats, the late great Bill Gove, Hall of Fame speaker, one day pulled me to the side. It was either 81 or 82. And he said, Tony, you know, off stage, you're playful, you're mischievous, you're funny. But on stage, you deviate from that. You come across as a professor, which is, of course, what I was. And he said, you know, if you really want to succeed, you need to let that New York City Italian, that playful, mischievous, funny, storytelling Italian come out. So that was one of the big things that helped, because once I made that change, my audience feedback went up dramatically. Another thing that I think was important, an idea that I got from many speakers, but particularly Jim Cathcart, who also a former president of the National Speakers Association and a Hall of Fame speaker, was basically doing my homework. And my homework, I'll make it simple, two parts. Number one, go in either the day before or well before you're supposed to speak and get a lay of the land. Do an AV check, the lighting, the staging, the seating, so that you get a feel for, you know, what you're facing, where there might be a couple of glitches that might detract from your speech. You know, it's sort of like going into a great restaurant where they have incredible food, but the ambiance is not there. See, for me, what Jim taught me was to make sure that the ambiance was there. And then my analogy, the meal or my speech, what he told me I had to do was do a lot more homework with the person who hired me to find out about the audience. What are they like? What are they experiencing? What are some of the roadblocks or problems? But really, what are some of the terminology that they use? Really get to know them so that when you speak to this audience, not only is the ambiance there because you've done your homework and made corrections, but and not only do you have the great content, but you could relate to them on their level.
This is an important principle that you're teaching right now, because in one essence, you're speaking about your public speaking and to get in there and do your homework and get the lay of the land and learn about the audience so that you can really get them to buy into the message. So for my listeners, you've got to know that what Tony was just teaching is also a sales lesson. Knowing about your customer and getting the lay of that land and learning what they want and what they like and how they speak. Tony, is that a fair assessment?
It's more than fair. It's absolutely right on. You know, with the internet today, Kip, if a salesperson is going out on a sales call, whether it's in person or on the phone, they have the ability to do an enormous amount of research right at their fingertips on their computer so that they don't go in totally cold and do something or say something or not say something that can hurt the sale. So, yes, that's a way to prepare for a sales call.
Awesome. Awesome. At the risk of being cliche, when you fail to plan, it's a plan to fail. So,
absolutely.
Listeners, be prepared in all of these things that you do. Now, everyone has heard of the Golden Rule, and this is my favorite book that I'm kind of leading into here, but everyone's heard of the Golden Rule, but it's been my experience that when it's applied to literally, it can even backfire. What is the Platinum Rule, and why is it better?
Well, I'm not saying the Platinum Rule is better. The Platinum Rule is different. The Golden Rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is a great rule when it comes to values, ethics, honesty, consideration. It's a great rule. I'm not saying that we replace it. I'm basically saying that in many situations, you want to think about applying the Platinum Rule, which is a sort of a twist. It's do unto others as they would have you do unto them. In a world of increasing diversity, gender diversity, generational diversity, you know, the baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, gender diversity, you know, the men are from Mars, women are from Venus, even geographical diversity. It's so crucial to know that what works for you may not work for somebody else. So the Platinum Rule is treat people the way they want and need to be treated. And I learned that firsthand when I moved from the New York City, New Jersey area where I grew up and lived there, other than going away to college in the Midwest. I lived in New York City, New Jersey for the first 23 years of my life. And eventually I moved out to California, San Diego, California, Southern California, which has more of a manana, you know, easygoing. Does that describe a New Yorker?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But when I came out here, yeah. I treated people according to the Golden Rule. I treated the people the way I wanted to be treated. In other words, I treated the people in San Diego as if they were New Yorkers, right? You see a problem. I came on too strong, yes. Too aggressive, too fast. Even when I asked people to do things that under any other circumstance they would have willingly done, they decided not to do it. Not because of what I was asking them, but how. I just rubbed people the wrong way. And when I realized that, which was not immediate, unfortunately, but when I realized that, I started adjusting, adapting, and creating the Platinum Rule. So the Platinum Rule is really a great rule. It's keeping your eyes and ears open, watching what people do, listening to what they say, and then adjusting or adapting how you treat them and how you talk to them, how you communicate with them. That's all it is.
Fantastic. Now, like you, my listeners deal with every type of person imaginable in business and in life. And, you know, it's really not easy to know how to approach different people the right way. And in your books, I've read where you've identified four different behavioral types. Maybe you could give us some examples and descriptions of those behavioral types.
Well, I will. To really get into it would take way longer than the amount of time that we have, but all of this is in my platinum rule material. And in fact, I'll do this, Kip. Anybody who wants to send me an email and mentions your show, I will send them a link where they can get a free download of my 60-minute MP3 talk. No charge. I usually charge for this. If you go to my website, alessandra.com, you'll see that it is in my shopping cart for $14.95. I'm going to send it to your listeners absolutely free. But,
wow.
But what they'll find,
thank you
what
so
they'll find,
much yeah, for that.
My pleasure, Kip. There are four basic patterns of behavior. I call them the directors, thinkers, relators, and socializers. But and here's the key thing. They have very different ways of behaving, different needs, different strengths, different struggles, different ways they make decisions. But here, let me just simplify it. And if your listeners want to know more, they can ask for the MP3 and I'll send it to them. But here is it. The relators and the thinkers are slower paced. The directors and the socializers are faster paced. So the key is, if you know how to differentiate one style from the other, and I do talk about this in that audio program, you can determine if I'm dealing with a relator or a thinker, I'm going to slow down my pace. If I'm dealing with a director or socializer, I'm going to go faster. Now, the second part of this is that the socializers and relators are very people-oriented, more people in relationship over task and structure. The directors and the thinkers are more task-oriented. So, again, if I know how to differentiate one style from the other with the directors and thinkers, I'm going to limit the amount of social talk, chit-chat, whatever you want to call it, and get right to the point, down to business, be on time, leave on time. And with the socializers and relators, I'm going to, as we say in New York, schmooze a little bit more with them, talk to them, chit-chat before I get down to business. So, you know, those are the four styles, and those are a couple of very quick tips of how to deal with them.
Absolutely appreciate that. Now, I'm just curious, which of the four behavioral types are you?
Well, sometimes it depends on who you ask, because I'm adaptable, but I will tell you, I definitely come across more as a director. I truly believe that the vast majority, probably a good 95% of us, have shades of all four. We have dominant
sure.
and recessive, you know, whatever you want to call it. But my main style is director. Let's say 55%, and I'm just pulling these numbers out of the air, 55% or so director, maybe about 30% or so socializer, and then the rest, sort of a mix between thinker and relator, maybe even a little bit more thinker than relator. But again, I come across more as a director.
Okay, very good. And what would you think I am?
You're probably more dominant as a socializer, and that's it. I don't know what the rest would be, but I would say you come across a bit more as a socializer.
Which one likes to be the center of attention and talk a lot?
The Kips of the world.
So I think you probably nailed it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're a socializer.
Now, this is another one for my listeners, just another tool for them. How does the Platinum Rule help in adjusting your selling style or match the customer's buying style?
Again, if I know what the customer's style is, and if salespeople are truly needs-oriented salespeople, where they ask more questions up front, get the customer to do more talking up front than the salesperson. Again, I'm not talking about a salesperson going in and immediately launching into a sales pitch where they go in and do a needs analysis. And if you have the customer doing a lot of the talking, you can pretty well pinpoint what their dominant pattern is. And then you simply adjust. Do I go faster or slower? Do I focus more on the task or the relationship? Do I give options? How will I ask for the order? For instance, with a director, you give them two or three options with brief supporting analysis, and they make the decision. Whereas a relator, they have a harder time making a decision. I may have to do a little bit more assumptive, gentle nudges. A thinker is much more likely to want to, guess what, think about it, to sleep on it. So I want to make sure that I give them all the relevant information, data, documentation, et cetera. So, that, you know, these are the little things that I would do to adjust my selling style. When I'm with a socializer, believe it or not, one of the things they may do is buy before they're sold. You know, if they get excited about something, if I as a salesperson am naturally persuasive, I can get a socializer to buy something. The problem is they get very excited up front, and then when the salesperson leaves, maybe they bounce it off of a couple of other people because they were so excited, and those people bring them back down to earth, and they have buyer's remorse. So I want to make sure that even if they want to buy too soon, I want to firm that up before I leave. Make sure that they know why they're buying, what the key benefits for them are, so that when they bounce it off of other people, they themselves can justify why they bought it. So those are just some of the tips that you can do. I go into a lot more, as you know, in my book, The Platinum Rule.
Sure.
That's a simple thing to adjust.
Wonderful. You just shed a lot of light on my buying history as a socializer. I just had a huge aha. I got to find some thinker to go do my buying for me or something, so I don't have that much time.
You know what, Kip, that's a very, very good statement, because several years ago, when I was a college prof, one of my office mates who had the office next to me was a real thinker, and I picked up on it, and I just watched what he bought, if it was something that I was going to buy too, and where he did all his homework, and I'd buy the same thing, because he did all the homework for me. I didn't want to go through all the homework. And even directors, believe it or not, remember, directors and socializers are fast-paced. Even though directors do more homework than socializers, they do it quickly and not in as much depth as a thinker might do. So I realized that, and that's why I watched what a thinker would do, and they went through all the homework for me. That's how I behaved.
Wow. Well, Tony, what a treat to have you on the show and for my listeners to be able to hear your insight. As a coach, I always give homework at the tail end of every show, and I think you've given us the perfect homework assignment. You've made a wonderful offer to my listeners. In fact, tell me about this download again. What exactly is that they're getting there?
They will get approximately a 60-minute MP3 that they can download onto their computer and then onto either an iPhone, iPod, Zune or whatever. You know, any player that has a that can play MP3s, or even, you know, put it on, listen to it on their computer, or burn it onto a CD. But what they need to do is simply,
this particular download,
it's called the Platinum Rule. It's all about the Platinum Rule.
Go
through the whole process. Exactly. We just talked, you know, very, very briefly a little bit about the Platinum Rule, but this goes into it in much more depth. So if people simply email me, my email address is TA, and those are just my initials, Tony Alessandra, TA at ALESSANDRA.com. So it's just my name, TA@Alessandra.com. And if they don't want to send me a message, although I do love to get messages in the body of the email, but if they don't want to send a message, just put send me the audio from Kip's show or something along that line, so I know it came from you.
Right.
And I will then attach a link where they can actually download it.
Wonderful. So, folks, here's the assignment for this week. I want you to send an email to TA@Alessandra.com. mention the show. You can either put my name, Kip Kent, or you can, if you will, the title of the show, and Tony will send you the 60 minutes. And the homework assignment is not just to get the download, listen to it. And your own behavioral style, the behavioral styles of others, and you may choose beyond that to actually take the assessment. I know it's one of the most affordable assessments that Tony's got out there to learn what your style is, and then you could also learn the styles of others or get others' perspectives about your own. Tony, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope that we can have you on again sometime.
Well, thank you, Kip. My pleasure, and I hope everybody got a couple little tidbits of wisdom that they can apply and make their life better and the lives of others that they deal with.
Wonderful. And folks, remember, it's not ability. You can if you will.
For more information, visit KipKent.com. And remember, you can if you will.